Hey, it's Amiel. You're listening to How My View Grew, the show that dives deep into humanity's challenges by looking at big thinkers who have changed their minds. Today, I have a short one for you. It's about one of the core practices in growing your view, the possibility conversation. The possibility conversation is a big part of opening yourself to a new way of seeing big global messes like climate, democracy, and the Middle East. And it's also relevant to every domain of life. Working, parenting, partnering, being a good friend, being a citizen. So, first question, what is a possibility conversation? It's a specific way of speaking and listening together where we focus on a possibility in the future that matters to us. And we explore it in a generative way, setting aside, at least for the moment, the critical mind and assessments of the past. The possibility conversation was a big part of the stories we've heard so far in the podcast. It was really central to the stories we heard from both Gil Friend and Valerie Pekar about how they grew their views. If you haven't yet heard those episodes, maybe this one will inspire you to do so. But you don't need to have heard them to get value from this. So what I find interesting about the stories we heard from Gil Friend and Valerie Pekar is that even though they took place at different times, in different places and contexts, and focused on different topics, and even using different languages, in both stories, a central part of it was the possibility conversation. In the case of Gil Friend, it was in 1973 in Carbondale, a small city in Illinois with a population of around 25,000 people, in a country that had been a democratic, however flawed, for 200 years. In the case of Valerie Pekar, it was 2014, Kyiv, Ukraine, a city of 3 million people in a country that had only been free from the Soviet Union for 25 years. With Gil Friend, the conversation took place in libraries around Southern Illinois University. With Valerie Pekar, it took place in the Open University of Maidan, in streets and cafes around a big public square. With Gil Friend, it was people speaking English. And with Valerie Pekar, they were speaking Ukrainian. With Gil Friend, the question was, how do we feed the world? And with Valerie Pekar, what kind of country can we be here in Ukraine? Different times, places, contexts, focuses, and even languages, yet the same way of speaking with each other, the possibility conversation. So now, let me answer that question, what is the possibility conversation, in a little more detail. Here are seven elements of the possibility conversation. One, it's about the future. A possibility conversation is not about the past. It's not about making assessments of what happened, good, bad, or ugly, or sharing stories about the past. Sure, those assessments and stories will absolutely inform what we can envision for the future, but the possibility conversation itself is not about them. It's about the future. What's possible this evening, next week, next year, or even 50 years from now? Two, it's about what's possible in the future. After all, there are many ways of talking about the future. This is not about what could go wrong, although many of us may have ideas about that. It's not about criticizing or debating ideas. It's about asking, what if? Three, we do it with others. Now, sure, you can imagine the future by yourself, and I do this all the time. I like to sit down with pen and paper or sometimes on my laptop and sketch out ideas. And this can be very useful when I enter conversations with others. Yet what we're talking about here and what Gil and Valerie experienced was a possibility conversation with others in groups. Four, there's a certain way of listening. We're not listening for what's wrong. We're not listening for what are we committing to. We're listening for what's possible. What is possible here? What could I add to this future? Along that vein, five, the critic, the part of our mind that asks critical questions and wants to debate, is for the moment sidelined on the bench, not in the game. Our goal is to fully explore a set of future possibilities, to imagine and create together. And even if one person interjects with critique or very sharp questions that can interfere with the possibility conversation. So we have the critic on the bench, and that critic knows it will sometimes come into the game, just not now, and therefore the critic can rest. So we say things like, yes, and, or how about this? Or let me piggyback on that idea. 6, it's not about coordinating action or making promises. We're not asking each other to make commitments. I'm not making requests of you. I'm not offering to do things on your behalf. There's no pressure in the possibility conversation to commit. In fact, that allows a lot of people to relax, because if they feel pressured to commit, that's not what this is about. So they can simply focus on imagining the future. Now, of course, if any of these things that we imagine, whether it's feeding the world, building a future for Ukraine, planning a weekend for our family, deciding what high school our kid is going to go to, if any of those things are going to happen, at some point we're going to have conversations to coordinate action, but not now. Right now, we're in the possibility conversation. And 7th and finally, our mood is constructive. Quick refresh, mood is to emotion like climate is to weather. Emotions come and go, they're fleeting. Mood persists. Some moods are not particularly helpful for the possibility conversation. Anxiety, one of my favorite moods that I've been wired with since birth, or at least an early age, not so helpful. Resignation, which is connected to the assessment that nothing new is possible here. I think you can imagine why that's not so helpful when we're imagining the future. And then resentment. You've done something to harm me and you'll never make it up to me. Also not going to be good for a possibility conversation. So what kind of moods are useful instead? Curiosity. I wonder what's going to happen next. Or ambition. Let's do this. Let's make this happen. A key point to emphasize here is that our mood creates a condition for the type of conversation we're in, how we speak and listen. And then that conversation, in turn, shapes our moods. So it's a virtuous circle. Here's an irony about the possibility conversation. It sounds like it's just freedom, like it's just creative and generative. And yet, as we've seen, the freedom to create requires some modicum of discipline, especially when multiple people are involved. So what we all agree to do is to say, you know, I'm going to set aside a bunch of things that are on my mind, and I'm going to simply focus on plunging into imagining the future. The good news, as we saw in the stories of Gil Friend and Valerie Pekar, is that these conversations can be really energizing, inspiring. They can change the course of our careers, our lives, even our countries. And as I said before, this practice, the possibility conversation, can be useful in so many different domains of life. Let's say you're going on a vacation with your family. You can pick a place and an activity and say, what if we were to do that? Let's imagine what that would be like. Let's have a possibility conversation around that. Or let's say your son or daughter is in middle school and your city has a choice of which public high school they can go to, or maybe you're considering a private school. You could have a possibility conversation around, what if they went to this particular school? What would that be like? Or maybe in your instance, your child is going to college, or maybe you're the one who is going to college or going back to school later in life. And that, my friends, is what I find so valuable about the possibility conversation, and I hope you give it a try. Thanks for listening. If you believe in this show, like what you're hearing, or simply don't know what to do with yourself for the next 30 seconds, please leave me a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. This show is produced in Detroit by Zach Rosen.